Mikey, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio, 790 KBC. Friday night, we made it. It's happening. You're hopefully on your way home, off to do something fun and enjoyable. Like, listen to the show. Excellent. 1-800-222-5222. If you're out there and you want to call in, talk to me. You can also email me, sam@samnation.com. I do check that throughout the hour. I will say this about the hurricane. If you're in Hollywood, evacuate. No, just kidding. This whole thing is inevitably, it's all going to be Trump's fault. That's where this is going. This is how it's going to devolve. By the middle of next week, the number one news story we're going to hear is about how things aren't happening quick enough. Things aren't happening fast enough. It's all going to come down to Trump. Did you see today he left for Camp David? Trump leaves for Camp David, gets asked about the hurricane, and he gives a thumbs up and says, good luck to everybody out there. And it is getting spun around as some sort of, like, president's off to go golfing. Oh, no, there's an emergency response center at Camp David. He's going to Camp David. He's not going to Bedford. He's off to Camp David, for Pete's sakes. Now, the most interesting thing about this is, do you remember during the campaign last year, remember when the flooding hit Louisiana? Who was out there golfing? It was none other than Obama. Obama went on a beautiful golfing trip that weekend. And guess who showed up to hand out emergency supplies and relief? Trump and Pence. Do you remember this? They were out there in their shirt sleeves, handing out food, you know, meals ready to eat and other supplies. And they're out there working with their campaign. They suspended the campaign. Of course, I mean, it was a brilliant campaign move. But no credit given for smarts to this guy. Everybody's written him off as a dunce and as a Nazi and a God knows what else. So we'll see how this thing plays out. And of course, our Sam Nation hearts and minds are with those in the path of Hurricane Harvey in Texas. Of course, CNN, given that it's CNN and given they're so obsessed, just completely obsessed with Trump and foaming at the mouth with Trump derangement syndrome, they're making this all about themselves. Jim Acosta is talking to Jim Abbott, the governor of Texas. And at the end of the economy, I mean, they're going through basic stuff. You know, here's what's going on. Evacuate, 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 because people don't evacuate. We see that here in California all the time, don't we, with wildfires. People want to stay behind. And it's an understandable deal. Nevertheless, the governor's out there on TV and he's spreading the word. Hey, if you're listening to me, if you can hear me, if you're watching me on TV and you're in harm's way, get the hell out of Dodge. Leave your stuff behind. Your stuff is not as valuable as your life. To which Jim Acosta adds this humorous tidbit.
Hopefully the president won't be tweeting about fake news as much as many Americans will be relying on the news in order to stay safe during this storm. We appreciate it.
Okay. So it's all about you, Jim Acosta, isn't it? This was my point last night. Trump has successfully inserted himself into the subdermal regions of CNN's body. He's totally under their skin. And it's driving them so bananas that when Acosta is doing a story on the hurricane, he's talking about a totally non-political event. At least the event should not be political at this point. What does he do? He can't resist himself. He can't. It's a Pavlovian reflex. You know, you ring the bell and the dog begins to drool. That's what's happening here. The dog is drooling every 10 seconds. Can't help it. Everything is about Trump. And everything is about what Trump said about him and about CNN and about the mainstream media in general. So very interesting. When we come back on Monday, I will talk about this in depth and have my reactions. We'll wait and see how everything goes, but hope that everybody stays safe. Meanwhile, There's a new story here that just hits at the core of how stupid politicians are in general and how dumb we are here in California specifically. You know, they call us the left coast. And for good reason. Let me ask this. Do you know anybody in the food service industry? Do you know anyone that owns a restaurant? The big talk right now in restaurants is automation. Because here in L.A., Orange County, California in general, certainly up north, I don't know if you've noticed this, but we've been bumping up the minimum wage like crazy. And it makes no sense for restaurants, right? Margins, if you know anybody in the restaurant business, margins are thin as paper. And so now, the big story has been automation. You've seen these kiosks, these places that, you know, make burgers, and there's a little robot, very basic stuff, but a robot that will make certain things. It's automated. Because what happens when a business owner wants to figure out how to cut costs that are mandated by the government, right? They had fixed costs. Everything was great. They had a certain margin. All of a sudden, the government comes around and says what? You must pay every worker X percent more. And where are they supposed to recover that money for? They can't charge more for the food because we can't afford it. They're not going to be competitive. So what do? They have to let some people go and find ways to automate the jobs that were previously done by humans. But not so fast. News story out of San Francisco. The bastion of liberal insanity. San Francisco will consider a tax on robots. You want to know what? Do you know what reasons they give for this? When robots steal our jobs, the article begins, should they be made pay taxes? Yeah, this is, hold up. You see how that's written? It's the very logic of it is that these flipping robots just came in. Bah, 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 came in and just, yeah, they just, hey, Joel, they, you know, you were working at that burger joint. Now they kicked you to the curb. Yeah, you're out of there. The robot just came in and janked that job right from underneath you, right? No, the reason the robot came into being is because of the labor laws. It's because of minimum wage. It's because it became too expensive for that business in the first place to have that employee. Believe it or not, actually, businesses tend to not like to reinvent the wheel if they're not forced to. When you have something like a restaurant, you know, the guy that owns a restaurant is not sitting around scratching his head wondering, how do I reinvent the wheel? In fact, reinventing the wheel and changing things in a business is expensive, okay? Every time you change something, things go wrong, things break. That means you lose revenue, you lose profit, not good. Stability, name of the game, money in, money out. Business owners are forced to reinvent the wheel when government comes in and does stupid things to them. That's when this thing, whole thing goes upside down and topsy-turvy. So the idea here, though, that the robots are the ones stealing the jobs, this could only come out of a liberal's mind. Jane Kim, who represents the city's District 6 on its board of supervisors, says she wants to find cash to help folks out with retaining basic income when robots take over their jobs. Help folks find cash? Question here. Do you get nervous when a government person says, I'm going to help you find cash? Because usually that process of finding cash ends up with their hand in my pocket, right? I mean, where do you think they're going to find the cash from? So first, what San Francisco does is bumps up their minimum wage to some God unbelievable amount. Businesses respond in turn by trying to maintain their profitability because they're not going to be in business if they can't be profitable. This is what politicians and people on the left, all you people that went to community college and think you understand economics. It doesn't work that way. The business has to have some profit. The guy is not going to take all those risks and all that worry not to get paid. So You make it more difficult, you make it more expensive, that's fine. But what is he going to do? What is that business owner going to do? They're going to find a way to circumvent it. And now the government is coming in. Now San Francisco wants to tax the very means by which these businesses have been hanging on. You remember this? This goes to Uber, too. Why do you think Uber is hell-bent on automating its cars? Why do you think they're hell-bent on that? Because when Uber started, everything was fine and dandy. You know, they had these independent contractors. Everything was fine. You know, these people would, you know, bring their own car, buy a car. Uber wasn't under any obligation to pay them any particular amount of money. It was all based on contract. And then the state of California got involved. And you know how this all went. We talked about it here on the show. That's right. They turned Uber drivers and they considered them employees. And all of a sudden that opened up a host of problems and expenses for the company. What do you think a company like that is thinking in the back of their minds? They're thinking, how do we get rid of this problem? Unbelievable. We really do live in a state. We genuinely do. We live in a place that could not be more hostile to business. And this is what happens when you have people in government, like this James Kim idiot up in San Francisco, who have literally no idea of how an economy works. She's got no clue. The guy who owns a hot dog stand in Manhattan knows more about the economy than Jane Kim. He does. He gets it. Whether he has a written one or not, he knows the basis of a P&L. The money goes in, money goes out, and what's left over is what you keep. So the whole objective is to make it work and make it balance out so that at the end of the day, you've got some money to pay rent and feed your family. See, economics not really that confusing. You understand it, right? Because you're a smart human being and you listen to this program. We get into economics here on Sam Nation. We really do. But I didn't want this to get shuffled because this is the type of nonsense that absolutely boils me. There are some restaurants that make big money. I give you that. But most restaurants, most of these people that own these, even you'd be surprised, even restaurants that look busy. What do you think a steak costs? Yeah, they're charging $30 for a steak, maybe at a fancy place or whatever it is. But what do you think that steak actually costs them? Yeah, it's $20 in for the cost. The food cost is high. They're not, the margins are not huge. They make some money on the alcohol and everything, but they've got to keep labor costs low. And that's one of the big absurdities, by the way, of the minimum wage. Because in California, what do waiters in a restaurant that has $30 steaks, what are the waiters making in tips? Quite a bit of money. But none of that is factored into forcing that restaurant to pay that worker a minimum wage. That guy could be clearing $200 a night easy in tips. And they're still forcing the restaurant to pay a minimum wage. It makes literally no sense. There's no credit for the tips. There's nothing. It's a non-factor because, again, politicians in Sacramento, politicians at City Hall, and we have it here in L.A. too, geez. A bunch of goofballs we've got here locally. But, you know, you've got politicians who have no practical life experience. They've got nothing. They've got nothing. And I marvel at it. And so for the first time, you know, we've got on a national level, at least, you got a guy you may think he's a little orange or a little odd. But for me, I'm looking at a guy in the White House who actually has run a business, who's actually tried to squeeze profitability out of his business, who understands hiring and firing and all that good stuff that goes into running an operation. I would settle right now for people in politics who've ran crappy businesses. Even bad experience that this is better than no experience. But geez Louise, this is insane. Punishing companies for pursuing workarounds over to get beyond and past the very crazy laws that the companies set up. So San Francisco, they're going to be taxing robots now. The very robot. Oh, for and the robots. Why are they? Because the robots are stealing the jobs, quote unquote. So I don't know. I don't know. Did the robots need representation? I don't know. From congressmen. Yeah. Well, it's if they get taxed, right? What is it? Taxation without representation? Good point. All right. Don't go anywhere. I got some more political gems here coming right up. And Pepper Nuts. You heard about this guy? You don't want to miss it. Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, Talk Radio, 790 KABC.
Talk Radio. 790 KABC.
Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation Live, Talk Radio 790 KABC, Friday night. So here is what happened sometime after the Trump rally in Phoenix. So a little bit of street skirmishes broke out. You'll remember that Antifa showed up, and there was some guy who started throwing stuff at the cops, and the cops did what seemed perfectly reasonable, is they fired a tear canister at him. Only problem is they hit him right in his nether region. And it's made the rounds on TV because I've seen the clip now. I can't stop watching it. It's terrible. He gets hit right in the nuts. And they're calling him Pepper Balls because he got hit by pepper spray canister right in the nuts. And that he just doubles over. He falls on the ground, obviously in a great deal of pain. Well, the news today is that this dummy got himself identified. Well, he identified himself on Reddit. He went on Reddit, which is a forum website, goes on there and he complains about what happens to him. But he didn't understand that he was wanted for assault on a police officer. See, these guys are so convinced that they are doing God's work and that they're on the right side of things. You have these masked Antifa protesters screaming at women. I saw a clip just earlier today at another protest. There are two men screaming at a middle-aged woman for her to take off her shirt. She's wearing some kind of Trump shirt. They're screaming at her that she's a Nazi, that she's a bigot. She needs to take her shirt off. You know, I want to point something out. I mean, if you had a man yelling at a woman outside of this context, let's say maybe on a college campus, telling her to take her shirt off, it'd be a sexual assault. That man might be charged by campus police and would certainly be dismissed from the university. No joke. But will you see that tonight on CNN or tomorrow or whenever? Will you see that picked up by the mainstream media? And so in that same vein, you've got this guy who, he's so stupid, the guy, Pepperballs, he thinks he's the victim. He throws a brick or whatever he does at the cops in Phoenix, and he thinks he's the victim. The same way that these guys beat up on Trump, pro-Trump rally people. Oh, I know. I'm not saying there's some good people. I'm saying legitimate, like that guy in Laguna that we're talking about yesterday. More on that too in the news, being confirmed now by multiple sources. So you'll see, you got a guy who's walking home from a Trump rally. He's wearing Trump gear. He's black. Okay, don't think he's a Klansman. Okay, I'm just going to go out on a limb. Unless he's Dave Chappelle, the original black white supremacist. Maybe that's him. I don't know. But and he gets clobbered on the head because he's wearing Trump gear. If you ask those Antifa people, they think they're justified. And I'm not going to go as far as to say, look, it's the media's fault. It's everybody's own stupidity that's at issue here. It's the Antifa people are so, this is just, it's insanity. But they go on TV, they go on the radio, they hear about what they in their minds have convinced themselves that Trump is a reincarnation of Adolf Hitler. And so the ends justify the means. That's not how this country works. We don't yell at women to take their shirts off. I don't care what's written on it. I don't care if it's literally the most offensive thing possible. Who are you? I'm looking, and it's a young guy too. Who are you, you 25-year-old piece of crap, yelling at a middle-aged woman who should old enough to be your mother, yelling at her to take her shirt off? Are you out of your mind? We cannot be a country where the ends justify the means. No one's speech qualifies them or makes them deserve physical abuse, a hit to the head or the like, or worse. And it goes for both sides. Gosh, I'm starting to sound like Trump. It goes for both sides. If you're a pro-Trump guy, you can't do that either. Everybody needs to calm down. I'm going to lead the way. I'm going to calm down too. How about that? So yeah, Pepper Balls got himself arrested and will now have some splaining to do. Or is that mansplaining? I don't know. John Wolf up next with the news. Sam Rejofsky, Sam Nation, back shortly thereafter. Domo arigato, that is right. Sam Rejofsky, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio 790 KBC, Friday night, bottom of the hour, 1-800-222-5222, sam@samnation.com is the email. And yeah, I've gotten a number of emails here, so I'm gonna get back here. So if you missed the first part of the show, I was mentioning how San Francisco is going to tax robots directly as a consequence of these evil robots stealing poor workers' jobs. You know, San Francisco has a minimum wage, I think it's $13 an hour, and LA has now, currently we're at 12 and rising. So it's, and I, when I started working, I'm 38, I think. I have to think about that. Crap, I just had a birthday. So at any rate, when I started working, minimum wage was somewhere in the fives. I don't think of myself as particularly old. It's brutal. Now, in my business, minimum wage isn't the factor. I think everybody in our firm starts at above that. But I will tell you in food service in particular, and other businesses in manufacturing, right? Gosh knows we're losing jobs in California, right? Manufacturing jobs are leaving. And I think it's raising the minimum wage, we've talked about this, it doesn't help. Because if you're building a product, one of your key costs in building that product is labor. What does it cost for you to pay the humans that are going to make your product? And if it's an unskilled job, what is that really worth? Right? It's worth whatever the market will pay for it, just like any other job. And so what happens is you start raising artificially through legislation, through well-meaning, we're going to help people, we're going to raise the minimum wage, so we're going to help everybody. And what happens is government ends up pricing jobs away from people. They end up making it too expensive for businesses to pay their employees. So what happens when someone's too expensive for a business? They get S-canned. That's what happens. Because that's what businesses do. They want to stay in business. Gosh forbid. So what do they? But they still need to make the good, right? They still need to manufacture the good. They still need to make the widget. So what happens? They go to a company, I don't know, like Caterpillar. I'm making this up. I have no idea. But they go to a big company that makes robots and they say, all right, I got this guy who now makes 12 bucks an hour. I can't afford it. But you know what? How much is that robot? And they say, again, I'm making up numbers, 10 grand. And the business makes a determination. They look at it and they say, we can buy this robot for 10 grand. And all we're going to do is basically oil him. I don't know. It could be a her too. I don't know. We'll oil it and plug it in. And you know what? It's not going to join a union. It's not going to talk back. It doesn't need state mandated breaks and lunch. Okay? It's not, I can sexually harass it and, you know, it's not going to do anything back to me. I know I'm being facetious, but literally the robot is just there. So now, and now the government is going, oh crap, we're our own dumb policy where we raise the minimum wage, we try to help people, but now people are getting fired. Ooh, we don't want that. So we're going to come in like San Francisco and this idiot Jane Kim over there for District 6 is saying we're going to tax these evil robots and these evil employers for throwing people out of their jobs. See, this is where liberals have lost me, completely lost me. This is where Sam Nation and the liberals are divorcing. No, divorced, past tense, long time ago. Because it just doesn't make sense. In my world, 1 + 1 = 2. The math has to add up. You want tax revenue from businesses? Let them be profitable. There's a novel concept. Do things that help businesses be profitable. Don't raise their payroll taxes, their cost of payroll arbitrarily. And then on the other hand, go tax them again when they try to fix the problem. It's just totally absurd. All right. Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, Talk Radio 790 KABC. Back right after this.
Talk Radio. 790 KABC.
Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, if you are out on the roads on any given weekend, like you might be this weekend, chances are that you're going to be just fine, but maybe, just maybe, and hopefully not, you might get into an accident. And if you do, because you listen to this program, you know exactly what to do. It's actually going to give you a competitive advantage over everyone else who's lost and doesn't know what to do and tries to do things on their own. Yeah, you're going to call Sweet James. He's a lawyer that we trust here on the program. You've heard the number. I've said it to you before, 800-881-2021. You keep that number close, right in your hip pocket. Never know when you or a loved one will need a good attorney. Sweet James has helped thousands upon thousands of clients get the justice that they deserved. What he's got, about $400 million-plus in verdicts and settlements for his clients. He's the guy that insurance adjusters call when their loved ones get in car accidents, even defense attorneys. Think about that. So call Sweet James. Make sure you don't get lost in the woods dealing with your car accident, motorcycle accident, dog bite, or any other personal injury case. Give him a call. 1-800-881-2021. 1-800-881-2021. Or visit his website, sweetjames.com. All right, Sam Nation, we are back live on KBC 790. We are, what is Friday night? Got any good plans, Roberto? Got a good weekend planned? For the good people in Texas, stay hunkered down. It's going to be very wet out there, and we'll follow this over the weekend and talk more about it on Monday. But I will tell you, in the meantime, there is a bit of a political storm brewing, and that is the Republicans are already now talking about who to run on the Republican side against Trump. This is fairly unprecedented. You typically do not have primary challengers for sitting presidents in their own party. So, you know, when you've got a Republican in office or you have a Democrat in office, you're not going to have another Democrat run and challenge an incumbent president. But there's this feeling right now that there's blood in the water and that Trump isn't going to survive. And there's people believing what's being said in the media. They're buying that he's a Nazi and that he's this terrible person, that he didn't apologize enough for his remarks, whatever. So, Ohio Governor John Kasich, Mr. Vanilla himself, Mr. Boring, Mr. I tried to run for president last time around and nothing worked, is putting out the feelers behind the scenes and trying to form something called a unity ticket. You'll hear this term quite a bit in the coming weeks ahead. Maybe even years ahead, a unity ticket. Do you know what that is? It's BS. It's what it is. Okay, the idea behind a unity ticket is that everybody sort of agrees to get behind two candidates, a president and a vice president. And they've got a guy, Colorado Governor John Hickenlooper, a Democrat. So a Republican and a Democrat. This is typical inside the Beltway Republican Party thinking. It's just idiotic. Because this is the way Kasich thinks. He's such a dummy. And Kasich is this guy who's always crawling up the other side's rear end. He wants to have just kumbaya friendly sessions with the other side and no principles. Politics is about principles. You've got to believe in something. And when you believe in something, you're going to have disagreements with the other side. And they're going to be big. And then you go into an election, and the election decides who wins. That's how it works. But you get these career politicians like Kasich. It's always Republicans, too, who are always capitulating, always giving up the ghost. They always want bipartisanship. When do you hear Democrats doing anything meaningful for bipartisanship? Never. Bipartisanship means Republicans do what Democrats want. And Kasich is big on this. So the unity ticket is a pipe dream. And it's also really self-serving because Kasich wants to be president so bad. Oh, my gosh. He can taste it. So he wants a unity ticket because that puts him in a position where he's the guy that's going to be on the ticket. Because remember, last time when he had competition from 16 other guys, he lost. So, of course, this guy wants a unity ticket. Duh. Oh, I don't know. You follow this program, you listen, so you know what's up. That's the advantage you get. And as far as the rest of the suckers out there, they're out of luck. All right, Sam Rojofsky, Sam Nation, we're going to talk about the big fight tomorrow. The Mayweather-McGregor fight. I have some tidbits here that you probably haven't heard anywhere else. Stay tuned.
Talk radio. 790 KABC.
Happy Friday, Sam Rojofsky, Sam Nation Live on Talk Radio 790 KBC. So big fight tomorrow night. I'm pretty sure most of America will be watching it in some way, shape, or form. But I'm not a huge boxing guy, but I did go McGregor. The big thing here is that McGregor is not a boxer. He's an MMA fighter. Right, he's a mixed martial arts guy, and they hardly use any kind of padding on their gloves. And it is, if you've been to an MMA fight, if you've ever been to one, it's brutal. I mean, these guys, I went to one where I thought the guy was getting murdered. I actually thought he was gonna die because there's blood and everything. And so then I saw a boxing fight, probably like most of you, I saw when Mayweather and Pacquiao went at it. And it's like they're dancing around the little ring, and they're like, pow, 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 back and forth, pow, pow. And I don't know anything about boxing. I'm looking at it, I turn to the guy next to me, I go, who's winning? Oh yeah, Mayweather's winning. I can't tell. The MMA fights, whoever's having blood and coming out of his face, that's the guy who's losing. It's pretty clear. So then I went to that McGregor-Aldo fight. I was in Vegas, and everybody was like, oh, Aldo's going to win. It doesn't matter. I went there, and this is where McGregor just jumped out. I blinked. I literally was holding a Coke. I looked at the guy next to me. I looked back, and the fight was over. It went that quickly. So I was embarrassed. I went all the way to the fight and I missed the freaking fight because it took only, I think it was like 7 seconds. So what's going to happen here? Well, the bookies would like to know. You know, Mayweather's such a favorite because he's 49-0. Like, he's never lost. So Mayweather's such a favorite, and they're doing boxing, which is Mayweather's sport and not McGregor's. So if they're doing boxing, the idea is that Mayweather being the undisputed champ of the world and McGregor being the outsider coming in, you know, it's probably Mayweather who's going to win. So there is so much uneven money, betting money in Vegas on Mayweather, that if McGregor wins this, it could end up being a serious financial disaster from MGM casinos and others because the odds are so high in Mayweather's favor. If they lose, who loses? The house, right? The casinos. So there's bookmakers that are actually kind of nervous about this fight. To me, even if you're not into boxing, that's kind of fun. I mean, why do you think we love Ocean's 11, the movie, so much? It's because the casino loses its shirt. Everybody loves when casinos lose because they're always winning. I'm throwing that little bit out there. But this, I think the money as of right now, think about this. Mayweather He's getting about $300 million. And McGregor, we think he's doing about $100 million for the fight. What do you think? That's just insane money, right? So what do you think they want? I know what I would want if I were them. If I were their managers, if I were their financial people. Yeah, I'd want a second fight. That's exactly what I would want. What do you think the best likelihood to a second fight is? If this fight doesn't turn out as expected, right? So I think there's a greater chance of a second fight if Mayweather loses. I'm not saying he's going to lose at all, but I just think that's an interesting thing to file away when you want to have smart conversations with people this weekend. Only do it with people who don't know about sports, though, because you're getting this from me. And I'm not necessarily a declared authority, but just as an outsider looking in, I always look at the business angle of it. And believe me, with that kind of money in the equation, it's always going to be about the dollars. All right, Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, the week is done. I'll be back tomorrow. No, not tomorrow. Monday, 7 p.m. See you then.